Tobin and Leroy.
Leroy Horde was one of the baddest men.
Nah, dude, they call me the kangaroo. Yeah.
Tobin and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit her with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better ask about me, boy. Okay, Leroy and Tobin, host of the show, man. Still silly sauce with the show in. Till then, it's half moon open. Sometimes cold takes like a snowman. No proof, I'ma lie about a molding. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him, I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded him. What is in store? Like under the seat of the driver's side floor, it's Gucci's galore. So many more from six in the Mars, never more. Man, if I'm honest, the damage is done. Silly sauce on unlimited funds. Join us on Twitch for unlimited fun. JFig and Marcos, you with it or what?
Toby Tobin, give two sh who Tobin is.
Ah, thanks, low dog.
One down, three to go, Leroy. Hate week has begun, and we have been victorious.
It was pretty amazing. And after the game, you know, I check my numbers, rebounds, turnovers, and threes.
Mm-hmm.
They've started making a lot of threes in the last, want to say, what, 3 weeks, month? I heard an interesting stat from Amy to put this season in perspective. You ready?
Of course.
The Miami Heat are the worst in the NBA at made field goals at 39 per game. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So now I take the three-point shooting and make it irrelevant in those 39. I'm thinking, how the hell are they winning? And they still have a winning record. So if one or two of those things turn around, you're looking at a whole different team.
You're looking at a team that last year was a one seed because they were the best three-point shooting team in the league.
They made their threes, and it sucks.
What changed this
that
year?
It sucks that a team that plays basketball the way they do, it sucks that the three-point shot matters so much with how they play, right? But it does. Because if you have a team, and it's any team.
Right, it's the league.
I don't care what the record is. Any team comes in and gets hot from three. And the Heat have been at a disadvantage. So now that three-point shooting has picked up, what it also does is it gives Bam a little more room around that dotted circle. It gives Tyler a little more room to drive. It gives Jimmy a little more room to do what he does. They put pressure on the defense, get a lot of fouls, a couple of guys fouled out. All around, it was, you know, it's what you hope you will see from the Miami Heat from here on out. So we'll see. But that was, you know, as far as, you know, shooting the three, putting pressure on the defense, getting to the rim, that was probably one of their better games.
We talked about it. Maybe the Panthers, they've turned that corner. They've been building towards it all season. Maybe the Heat turning that corner. We've been building toward it all season.
Yep.
I hope. Are they going to be the Heat this year, though?
At this point.
Are they going to be the Heat this year, though? We're all excited, and we're going to be like, oh, we're going to overtake the Nets. We're going to get the Nets on Saturday, and then...
Well... The thing is that all of these teams have some flaws. But what the Heat's flaw has been is, like, much worse than what the other teams' flaws are. Usually with young teams is turnovers. But they can score, right? They have lapses on defense, but they can shoot the three, which makes up for a lot of that. The margin for error with the Heat when you can't make the three, and I'm not talking about being elite. I'm talking about just being average.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about not getting beat by 5, 6, 7 threes when you play a team. That's 21 points that you're going to make up. That means that a team that has the worst average made buckets, if they lose the three-point battle by, say, 5, That means now you got to find some kind of way to make six, you know, six twos with the team already making the fewest amount of field goals or buckets a game. They put themselves in some tough spots, but I, you know, you see games like last night, and it gives you hope. Okay, maybe this is it. Everybody's healthy. All the roles look like everybody looks like they have their role, and let's see if we can run with it.
That's all you can hope right now, that we've kind of figured some things out and we kind of get things going. We're going to touch more on it in 15 minutes of heat. But right now, let's dive into the headlines that are brought to you by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Super Center. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford.
We know trucks.
The madness is back. Four games on the NCAA men's tournament docket today. Kansas State and Michigan State tip off at 6:30. Arkansas and UConn do battle at 7:15. Everyone get ready. The Owls of Florida Atlantic.
Hoot! Hoot!
Taking on Tennessee at 9. Then you got UCLA Gonzaga, a little West Coast action. They close out the night at 9:45. Of course, the Canes will play tomorrow when they face Houston at 7:15. Woo! FAU've got a tough matchup with Tennessee, though, tonight at 9 o'clock.
Tennessee spent the first part of the season as the top-ranked team, right?
Yeah.
I think they did, yeah.
They're really good, too.
They're tough, but what happens is as you get farther along in this tournament, your guard play has to be better than these bigger universities' length, right? So what happens in these smaller universities is the reason why you're there is because you're a point guard, and instead of being 6'5", you're 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
You're 6 foot. And instead of, you look at O'Meara, right? 6'9", he plays center. You go against these bigger universities, they got 2 6'10", 7 footers. And so you have to be really good at what you do. And the thing is, the big equalizer in this tournament is point guard play. I can't explain it. It don't matter how tall, how big, but if you are fast and you can make things happen at the point guard position, your team will have a chance. No matter who's the big, because we had this conversation yesterday. Who's the last big to win the national championship? I'm talking about guys who are productive in the NBA.
Joakim Noah.
Nah.
Goes back far.
And he was he a center or he played four in the league?
Oh, in the league?
Yeah.
Who does anybody play center anymore? Like, that's nobody plays five anymore.
I think he was a center because Taj Gibson was a power forward.
Right. But I'm thinking, let's see. I think Anthony Davis won his freshman year.
His only year.
At Kentucky.
Yeah.
Who did you just say?
Ameka Okafor.
I didn't let you get away with that.
What do you mean?
Ameka Okafor was a center that won a championship.
That's
at
the answer. That's literally the answer.
No, I'm talking about guys who can play in the league.
He played in the league. He was good in the league.
I'm talking about when you see Anthony Davis dominate,
yeah.
Or you see Joel Embiid dominate,
yep.
And you think, why didn't they win in college?
It's true.
Against guys who aren't even pros.
Oh, they don't. Well, they don't hand out national championships like peppermints.
Did Grandma Arms win?
Carl Anthony Towns? He did not. Okay. I'm telling you, the list goes, because you had mentioned this the other day, and I looked it up. It was very horrible. It was Anthony Davis, like you mentioned, but prior to that, the only other big man to win a national championship and have some sort of success, like I said, was Joakim Noah or Ameka Okafor or even Sean May. Like, this is how far I have to stretch. You know,
And Sean May was very similar to O'Meara. In that he was
undersized.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't a big dude, but he played center. Just like Omerda. He was tough, rebounder, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's all about and man, Miami's got three guys who can flat out get it. Right? When you watch FAU, they got guys that can get it. And so when I say, hey, it's not far-fetched, even though you're playing a bigger school. It's not far-fetched for FAU to go in there with their point guard play if they have, you know, have great days and win the game. We've seen it. I asked somebody this. Would you have known who Steph Curry was at Davidson if not for the tournament?
Nope.
We have two or three point guards every year that ball out during the tournament, end up get drafted high. They don't. A lot of them don't make it, but periodically you got that stuff. What about Ja Morant? Did we know about Ja Morant before the tournament?
Not even a little bit.
Right. So, yeah, man. If you got some point guards and there's something else, look, both Miami and FAU go into the Sweet 16 with excellent point guard play.
What? How far did Ja Morant make a run in the tournament? I thought they lost in the first round or something like that.
No, they went – I think they made the Sweet 16.
Murray State?
Yeah. They were a big deal. They was that small school that because he went crazy, I think.
I know he had a triple-double in the first round against Marquette.
Yeah, right. That, how far did they make it? That was it's got to be 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, 4 years ago probably.
It was in actually 2019.
So this is 2023, this is fourth year, right?
4 years.
Yeah. I think they made it to the Sweet 16.
I'm still looking for it. They just keep telling me Ja Morant's stats, which, by the way, 17, 16, 11. 16?
Murray State does actually have a pretty proud tradition in college basketball. We're not acting like he just made that school. He didn't.
Yeah, but if you're a 6'8 wing that can shoot the three, you're not choosing Murray State.
They did not go to the Sweet 16, by the way.
They made it out of the first
just
round?
Just before, yeah, out of the first round.
Okay, so they're getting round of 32. All
right. Yeah.
All right, round of 32.
Well, let's talk about the Heat. They shot well and defeated the Knicks 127-120. The win was historic because it made Eric Spoelstra only the fourth coach in NBA history to win 700 games with a single franchise. You want to know the other three? Do you want to guess the other three?
Oh, I got one.
Red Auerbach.
Nice.
Damn it.
Jerry
Sloan.
Nice.
Wow. Jerry Sloan.
That was correct.
You looking at the list.
No. That's the only one.
Wait.
Oh, it's only one.
Is it,
You got to get
it. Is it Phil Jackson?
No.
Come on.
No.
I got it.
I mean,
tap me in.
Go.
Pop.
Yes, of course.
It's gotta be Pop.
The winningest coach of all time. He's been with the San Antonio Spurs
for
a long time.
For now.
Right.
Miami hosts Brooklyn Saturday at 8. ESPN has ranked its top 100 Major League Baseball players. Marlins ace Sandy Alcantara, number 11. But that's not where it stops. Center fielder. Yes.
Center fielder.
Jazz Chisholm, number 60.
Mm.
And then
that's without playing all last year, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're talking about that. And a newly minted second baseman, Luis Arraez, came in 83rd. Of course, the Fish, they open the season 1 week from today against the Mets. I have heard somebody in this building is going to be in attendance at opening day.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, that was crazy.
You know what? As a show,
yeah.
I'm standing up to this nonsense.
That's right, Leroy.
We love the Marlins.
Love them.
We have no problem going.
Yep.
Opening day.
Looking forward to it.
Why not?
Looking forward to it. You think you should let us know first?
Yeah, Dan.
It was news. To
you
be honest.
Knew before we did. I listened to the show yesterday.
I said, excuse me?
Yeah, why is Mark Hawkman, the afternoon host, telling everybody? Like, he broke
That's
the news.
That's how I found out. I literally was listening to the radio. I heard Dan Day and Hawk talking. Hawk said, I think Tobin and Leroy are going to be there. And
I literally scooped everybody by going, oh, you guys going to be out there? Nope.
Right.
Tobin and Leroy are going to be out there.
Can we get a little love?
How does he know?
Know what? I'll get all the answers today, and I'll report back to you, okay?
Oh. I mean, at least you got a week advance notice.
What are we doing?
Yeah, that's good.
Do we have this confirmed? Do we know for sure?
I don't know.
Do we know for sure?
We don't know anything for sure.
I know nothing, but don't worry. I'm here. I'm going to figure things out. Hey, it's Hello. Baby Spoon.
Baby Spoon.
Uh-oh.
I didn't even see. Oh, she's gone.
That's why I'm home, Baby Spoon, going ice skating.
Ice skating, not with them.
I was about to say, with a friend.
Did you see which friends?
Ooh. Ooh. Friend wasn't.
Are you going to
go? There's parental guidance in this.
I like it all.
You better.
Yeah.
Speaking of ice skating.
If I got to take the day off and go put on some blades,
Let me know if you need some backup.
Weapons on his feet now.
Speaking of ice skating, the Panthers are still holding on to a playoff spot and look to strengthen it when they play the Maple Leafs tonight at 7.
Those guys suck. Do they? I don't know the record. I'm just trying to.
No, they're not bad. Okay. They're not bad at all.
All right.
But they're going to suck tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, you can expect the Panthers to get out to that 7-4 lead like they did the other night.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, J-Fig, you make sure you find out.
For sure.
Maybe, come on. Oh, we get texts for everything.
Don't worry, I got it.
We get texts for everything.
That is
true. I will write it down on my hand.
I mean, I can send an email right now. You guys are acting like we need an act of Congress. I can send an email.
No, I need an act of Congress.
No.
Wait.
We have the FBI on it.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
You think we could have used that yesterday during the show?
That would have been nice.
Yeah, big news.
Big news.
World Baseball Classic.
Yep.
Right? In fact, our show, when we go to the games,
yeah,
are the only one that have Twitchers, texters represent.
I don't know.
Why not give them a heads up and let them know, hey, guys, you know where we going to be in our spot to watch some Marlins.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there.
Yeah. Actually, Hockman also planned the rest of the day for us as well.
Yeah?
He said Tobin and Leroy will probably be enjoying the game after the show also. So
okay.
I hope.
Wait, because the game starts at like 7.
At 4.
4:30,
I think. 4. Yeah. 4:30. So we finish at
probably 4:20, to be honest with you. It's probably 4:20.
It isn't.
Is there anything better than the travel day game? That 1 o'clock baseball game.
Yeah, that's fun.
Oh, man, I used to love those.
Yeah, usually even emptier than usual, so I can enjoy.
You can sit wherever.
Yeah.
You can just enjoy baseball. You don't have to wait in lines for food.
Sure. It's beautiful.
You know,
Marcos, you're going to be there, right? I'm planning your day.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. After I get out of here, I'll race over there. We'll shotgun a couple beers. Cool. I mean, we'll talk about the show, and then we'll go in there.
Okay, wait, whichever one.
See, I don't have to plan that type of day. That's just my everyday routine.
No,
right there,
we call that Tuesday and Dan Day.
That's my life right there. I'm actually going to go shotgun some whiskey right now.
Oh, nice.
And then we're going to take a break and come back with 15 minutes of heat here on the Tobin and Leroy Show, 560 WQAM.
Where is the whiskey?
WQAM. This is the Tobin and Leroy Show. Miami Heat getting a big win last night. This is Hate Week. If they win all four games, they are right where they need to be. And we're going to get to that in just a few minutes on 15 minutes of Heat. But right now, I want to talk Dolphins. Dolphins got some free agency deals in the offseason. Is it going to help the team? Is it going to hurt the team? We're going to find out. We do know that Mike White is supposedly the backup to Tua. I don't know if Mike White knows that news yet. Maybe he's just saying, yeah, I'll be the backup. But, let me think, what's up? Mike White, South Florida guy, coming back. Could he make a difference with Tua? Let's find out.
You know, he's a great guy. You know, he was one of my best friends on New York, and obviously that'll carry over. And he's the same way. I mean, he's an absolute competitor, you know, an absolute warrior guy you want to go to war with, you want in your dog hole. And, you know, it's, I think he brings a lot of competitive nature with him wherever he goes. And, you know, like I complimented Tua about, I think those two are going to rub off on each other in the best way and really just make each other better. But I'm very excited to have him over here.
So Braxton Berrios thinking that Mike White's going to be a good effect on Tua.
Uh-huh. Yeah, hold on.
Yeah.
We need to back this
let me do this one more time, and then I'll stop it.
Go ahead, and before I comment.
Because this is what I think you're talking about.
You're not privy to the show. We listen to stuff, but we listen to stuff.
All right, I got a question on this, and I think Leroy has the same question.
I have the same question.
You know, he's a great guy. You know, he was one of my best friends on New York, and obviously that'll carry over. And he's the same way. I mean, he's an absolute competitor, you know, an absolute warrior guy you want to go to war with, you want in your dog hole.
Okay.
So
what
we
the
all
hell
have
is a dog hole?
Thing. Yeah. Wonderful. Because I thought the same.
The hell is a dog hole?
I don't know.
Isn't it foxhole?
It is a foxhole. I don't know if I want anyone in my dog hole. Poor Mike White is trying to get a good advertisement from Braxton Berrios, new receiver for the Dolphins. And instead, now we're wondering what the hell a dog hole is. Is that like my mouth when I'm eating hot dogs? Is that like a hole that my dog in the backyard?
But a dog hole is just a hole.
It's just
a
normal
hole.
It's just a hole that a dog dug.
I don't
a
like
fox
that.
A foxhole is like a trench.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there could be a bone in a dog hole. So he's saying that Mike White is a bag of bones. Is that what he's saying?
I'm not sure. So, here's why. Anytime there's two things. People always think that when you bring somebody in, you're bringing them in for competition. You're bringing them in for, you know. But sometimes you bring guys in because they can help with the room, right? And Mike White has played. He's young. And
he was 2-5.
He's 2-5, right.
No, he was 2-5 with the Jets as a starter.
And so he's probably one of those guys that, you know, he's going to be a team player. And that's what sounds like, what Braxton Berrios sounds like. He's coming in. He's going to put in the work. He's going to do everything he can to be the best version of himself while pushing and helping however he can to help too. That's what I got out of that. It's not uncommon. Like, I can tell you when Vinny was the quarterback, Vinny took over for Bernie. When Vinny became the quarterback, here were the guys that we had as backups. Mark Rippon, Mike Tomczak. So all guys in that room that, you know, could play if they had to, but gave you the ability to make the room better, to make everybody more responsible and do the right things and have the right reads and have opinions about how things should be done. And that'll just help. Now, I will say this. For a backup, he is relatively young.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing,
and though. So now you have two guys in that room that have some experience playing the position, but not that OG experience.
Right, right.
So if there's any question about that, would be the one question that I have, is that would you rather have a young guy who in some ways is learning also, or would you like to have a guy who's on the back nine that can still play but isn't quite starting anymore and could help progress to his career?
It's going to be interesting to see right there because, yeah, two young guys. There's not a lot of experience between the two of them. And it doesn't look like the third string, they're going to bring in anybody that's an OG, and they're going to.
Well, no, you don't bring an OG. You don't bring an OG
for third.
For third, no. So they'll probably. This is the spot where you draft somebody in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, right? And hope you get Tom Brady, but you take a chance, a guy who needs a lot of developing, but may have some skill. Whether it's a strong arm, whether it's, you know, athletic ability, you know, something, and you bring him in and you try to develop him in that spot. But you don't bring an OG in. You don't bring an old head in for third string. That's almost, you're insulting his talent.
Well, speaking of OGs, Braxton Berrios, very excited to work with Wes Welker.
You know, really, yeah, those guys. Obviously, I'm absolutely thrilled to be in the same room as Coach Welker now, I guess. I don't think I've heard of the right from Wes yet. But, you know, just being able to pick his brain and to see, you know, hearing what he sees and, you know, kind of the same thing as Tua, just learning how they see their offense being ran. Obviously, you know, they've been in it now for a year, and so they'll help me get up to speed on it and the details and the intricacies, and because that's what this league is. It's a very detail oriented league, and if you're not on those details, mistakes happen. So it's really cool to be there with Coach Welker, and you know, one of the best to ever do it, and really just be able to pick his brain every single day.
You know, it's weird. I know Wes Welker, right? You guys saw me during the Braxton Berrios sounds just like him, which is the first thing I took away from that. Yeah, man, look, think about this. You have a coach who has the same body type and plays very similar to a guy you brought in. So you're learning with the same skill set from one of the best to do it. That can't hurt.
That I was going to say, that's got to be a good thing, right?
Right, exactly.
And he seems like he's very open. And
did Wes Welker break the mold? Like, was there no Wes Welkers before Wes Welker?
Don Beebe.
Yeah, they had.
They had guys.
I feel like I've heard Don Beebe.
Hold on. See, here's where we're going to go with that.
Yeah.
What you're basically talking about is small, less than athletic.
Yep.
We used to call them possession receivers.
Yeah,
possession
for sure.
Receivers.
But I feel.
But you know, the look, say what you want. That's what everybody said about what's his name that went to Cleveland?
Landry?
Yeah.
Jarvis?
Yeah.
Jarvis Landry. That's what a lot of people said about him.
I thought he was a star.
Because he didn't play outside. He always thought that he could play outside, but they wouldn't put him inside. They wanted him in a slot because he was probably one of the most sure receivers you could have, and you could count on him. So what has happened is, and then you take it one step further, Sean Payton puts his star receiver in the slot, whether it's a tight end, whether it's Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas played a lot from the slot, even the wide receiver before Michael Thomas. Right? They all played that slot, and he ran his main guy in the slot. So, like, we just discard it as the third receiver, but it has a different place now with how the route you run, how you use your offense. Yeah.
But think about this. If you're a defense, how scared are you to go up against an extremely accurate quarterback like Tua? Two guys on the outside that can just fly in Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. And then all of a sudden, you got Braxton Berrios to kind of work the inside. That's scary.
Yeah, my boy, the other River scary Craycraft. Thing is that, and here's the, and I've said this about defenses. See, to a defense, they see a formation, they see a play, they study the play, they study it out of that formation, they see where the wide receiver lines up, they loop all the routes that a receiver runs from that route. From an offense, we run one play out of five different formations, the defense thinks it's five different plays. So when you start moving these guys around, so what happens if you put Waddle and Tyreek Hill on the same side? What happens if you put Tyreek Hill in the slot, right? It blows the defense's mind because you have that flexibility offensively. Because, wait a minute, we haven't seen this play yet from the offense. It's the same plays we've been running.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, you know, doing something like that gives you a lot of flexibility to do a lot of things to kind of mess with the defense.
And you got guys like Wilson and Mostert in the backfield that can fly all around. Ooh, it looks like things are coming together. I expect
all right,
big things, but
calm down.
One thing, Tua, stay healthy. Please, Tua, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Daddy loves you guys.
Please. Yeah. Please. Mike White, take our money. I've said it. Take our money. Don't earn your money. You earn your money by sitting on the bench and patting Tua on the back every time he scores a touchdown. That's
at
what we're
paying
for.
At the end of the
year,
we want to call Mike White a payroll bandit.
Yes, indeed. And we'd be so happy. Yep. So happy.
Be happy about it.
We'd be so happy. Mike White, take our money, please. Say, please, Heat, win out this hate week. One down, three to go. 15 minutes of Heat. We'll discuss next here on 560 WQAM.
15 minutes of Heat.
Has begun, and the Miami Heat have passed the first test, shooting well, overall playing well, 127-120 over the Knicks. We were right about Julius Randle not exactly going off. We figured the Heat would find a way to slow him down. He only had 15 points and 9 assists, close to a double-double, but he did not go off like he did the other day. We thought Jalen Brunson would pick up some of the slack. He did, 25 points. Quentin Grimes had 22. I was wrong about Emmanuel Quickly. He only had 5 points last night in 19 minutes, so I'll take the L on that one right there, but RJ Barrett, once again, we expected the guys to kind of pick up the slack, 26 points, but Jimmy was the story.
Yeah.
35 points, and Tyler Hero, 22 points. Gabe Vincent, 19 points. Kyle Lowry, 14 points. Max Strus, 11 points. Bam Adebayo, 15 points. Team just played great last night.
Yeah.
Only thing I would say, like everything, if you look at, they shot 57% from three, right? 57% overall. They had more steals. They got out-rebounded by 13. But and then the offensive rebounds, you know, a lot of those. And they won the turnover battle. Mm-hmm. So you win two of those three stats, especially this team, they're gonna always be in the mix. Like, if you're gonna shoot the three poorly, you better win the rebounding battle, you better win the turnover battle, and they were able to win two of the three without winning the rebounding battle. So that game, I mean, I didn't realize they made that many threes or they shot that well. They only took 28 threes,
You know how many Duncan Robinson took last night?
Zero.
You know how many minutes Duncan Robinson played last night?
Zero.
It's direct coordination, I think.
Wow. Right.
You know, Leroy, one trend that I have noticed of the Heat, and this is a very positive trend, they have played well in the fourth quarter. They've been scoring some points in the fourth quarter. Last night, 35.
Yeah, usually because they're catching up.
And Tyler Hero has been playing really well in the fourth quarter.
Tyler Hero has been he seemed to be a little more aggressive earlier.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, even though he made shots in the fourth quarter, he made some big buckets, more aggressive earlier in the game. Like, if you're going to be the starting point guard, you have to be the guy that puts pressure on the defense so it enables you to facilitate to everybody else. If you're going to dribble the ball around as a point guard, then we need somebody that's going to put pressure on the defense. I think Tyler did a better job of that yesterday. It's one of the reasons why everybody got so annoyed by Kyle early on in the year. He had the ball in his hands all the time. He was just dribbling around the outside. He wasn't putting pressure on the defense for whatever reason.
Yep. Got to be that threat in there. You got to – yeah, that just seemed like that was what a lot of Lowry was doing, was dribbling around and passing the ball and kind of just – I wouldn't say slowing things up, but just you got to be that aggressiveness.
Right.
When you get that aggressiveness, you kind of suck things in, and you can also kind of have people off, and you kind of open things up, especially for guys like Jimmy Butler.
Here's the thing. You can't be a team that throws the ball around the perimeter if you ain't making threes.
Exactly.
They're going to let you pass it around the perimeter. So from that standpoint, it seemed like there was a better mix of threes versus getting the ball in the paint versus putting pressure on. I think they had two guys foul out. So you were definitely putting pressure on them in some way.
Caleb Martin, remember we said we needed him to play. He played 23 minutes last night, 5 points, 5 rebounds. Is it just going to seem like that's it for Caleb? He's going to be coming off the bench, although he played the same amount of minutes as Kevin Love. So Kevin Love gives you 6 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. I think – do you think – okay, that's what I want to ask. Do you think the way that the lineup is set now – is the way we're going to see the Heat the rest of the season as far as starting lineup and guys coming off the bench and some of the minutes that are going to be played?
To some extent, yeah. I'm wondering.
To the most extent, yeah.
Are they just done with Vic now? Which is weird.
God.
Because we were talking about him as a defender in the fourth quarter. Now you got Caleb. Caleb has to be in there in the fourth quarter for his defense.
Mm-hmm. His size.
So it doesn't matter if he scores. But you got to have somebody to counteract the guys who aren't known as defenders. And that is when you have Tyler, the one thing you say about Lowry is he'll get under your skin on the defense side of the ball. Mm-hmm. So he does do some other things other than scoring, but he wasn't putting any pressure on the defense on the other side. And now that he's coming off the bench, he does. Which is crazy, right? Sometimes, and I used to do this, and it got brought to my attention earlier in my career when I started starting. And they were like, hey, man, stop saving yourself. You play more minutes, you get more carries. Stop saving yourself. You just go. If you need a break, you let us know.
When you run out of bullets, just let us know.
You got to play the way that you play. You can't try to extend how you play to the fourth quarter. We'll do that with rest. And I think when you look at when a guy goes from the bench, when they say, just go out and do you and be a Tasmanian devil and do what you do, to a guy going to the starting rotation, he kind of looks more reserved when they want him to play the same way. That's why you got there. And I think that's, you know, Kyle did that early, And now he's coming off the bench. He's more aggressive. Maybe it's a health thing. Maybe he wasn't healthy. You know, I don't know.
What I do want to ask about Victor Oladipo, and we'll go around the room, is he now kind of just confined to the role, like, hopefully in the playoffs he can come out there and get hot just one game and win us one game? Because, you know, sometimes they have players like Nate Robinson was that years ago for the Celtics. Like, we told you, you're going to win us one game. That's all we really need. He's basically going to ride the pine. Maybe one game he gets in when there's some foul trouble or an injury. He gets hot. He scores 14, 15 points. And you say, ah, we use him for that one game. Do you think Victor Oladipo has maybe been relegated to somewhat of that role?
I don't know why he's not playing.
0 minutes?
Zero. I don't know why that is. And it's weird because sometimes the last you see of a guy, you think good things and you think he's heading the right direction and you don't play for it for 2 weeks. So I don't know what the process is there. The thing is that no matter what decisions that Spo makes, we trust Spo. And although I'm a big Victor Oladipo fan, I think a lot of people forget how good he really was.
Mm-hmm.
I still trust what Spo is doing, even if I don't like it or agree with it or whatever. That man knows what he's doing. So I would hope that at some point they need, you know, Vic to go in and do what he does. But we'll have to see, because I never thought that it would go when Kyle Lowry gets back, he comes off the bench and that pushes Vic even farther down.
Mm.
I didn't think that was going to happen, but That's what happened.
That's what I was going to ask. And of course, I want to get Marcos and Jay Figg's take on this. And maybe Figg, right now you can tell me, do you think that Victor Oladipo is that guy now? It's in case of emergency, break glass. He's kind of an insurance policy. And the rest of the time, he's just going to be a pretty thing sitting on the bench?
Yes.
You really? I mean, he didn't play last night. It was a big game. It was maybe the biggest game of the year, and he didn't play a minute. It's like, what are you saying? But then again, I can't figure out Spo's rotation. Like, Duncan Robinson gets in, starts balling out. You never see him again. All of a sudden, now Kyle Lowry's coming off the bench, and Victor Oladipo, you might never see him again. What's going on?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think I've seen this coaching style before, though. Like you mentioned it, Leroy, you said that you see Belichick do this with running backs.
Yes, all the time.
Yeah.
They went for, remember the guy had 200 yards, he was late, they cut him.
Yep. Yeah, but I've seen this coaching style from me when I used to play outside. You used to go, bubblegum in a dish. How many pieces
do you wish? I knew this was
going to
end up somehow like this.
And then that's who you decide who's playing tonight. So I do feel like Oladipo will have the bubblegum in a dish. And if they do Eeny, Meeny, Miney or Johnny Ate a Booger and it tastes like sugar, then he possibly won't be selected. But yeah, this is just simple childhood math. You guys are overthinking this. Victor Oladipo will return to play.
And that's the thing. If he comes in and he saves the day and he plays great and gives you 15 or 20 points and you get a big win, you may never see him again anyway, because that's just the way they coach.
Just the way it goes.
I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out.
Listen, he don't have 700 wins.
I know.
Doing the wrong thing.
I know. 700 wins less.
That's why, again, I preface it by saying, even though I may not like the decision or I don't agree with the decision
or understand it,
I can't question it, because that dude has 700 wins with the Miami Heat and I have zero.
I was going to say, last I checked, I have zero also.
Right. So I'm always, you know, I'll voice my opinion while understanding that I have to trust what he's doing, because he's proven I am not.
And there are some theories. I'm seeing some of the texters and the Twitchers and the YouTube livers saying, well, maybe he's hurt or he's got something wrong with him.
It could be that they play him for 2 weeks and then give him a break for a week because they want him ready for the playoffs.
That's true, too.
And they may know, you know, the soreness or what he's going through or whatever. That could be true.
Yeah, that could be behind the scenes.
You don't know.
Very easily, Spo's saying, hey, look, man, we need you for the playoffs. Rest up. Charge your batteries. We got a big run coming up. We're going to need you. Let's rest you. You know, if we do in case of emergency, break glass, we'll break glass. But, that, you know, we're playing for something bigger. That could be the thing. We're not in the locker room. We don't know what's going on, especially in Spo's brain, what's going on behind the scenes. And we do know one thing. The Heat will never let us know. And most teams won't. Most teams won't. Of course, here's our game plan, guys. Let the whole league know. So
we have more information on the DA trying to indict Trump than we do on whether Victor Oladipo is hurt or not.
Absolutely right there. But it is encouraging last night to see the numbers that you got from some guys like Kyle Lowry, Max Strus. If Max Strus can give you 11, 12, 13 points a game, Gabe Vincent, 19 points. It's just a really good game. Now, does that carry over to the Nets on Saturday?
I don't know. And that's the thing. That's we've been having these conversations now for 73 games.
Right. And what's been the answer? No. So the sample size says no. Sample size says no. Am I right?
Sample size says it's going to be up and down and up and down and up and down. However, what I saw last night would lead me to believe that they can do some things consistently. The three-point shooting, you're not going to shoot 57%. No. But the other things, the pressure on the quarterback, I mean on the defense, the pressure on the other team defensively, those things you can maintain. You know, no bad decisions, the turnovers and stuff like that. I think when they lose games, we don't even talk about the threes until we get past the rebounds, the turnovers, and just the not being on a string defensively. Those are the three things. Every time they lose, like, guys aren't where they're supposed to be and what have you. So,
yeah, it's pretty obvious.
I hope so.
It's pretty early and obvious to know when the Heat are going to lose. When they're not making their threes and they're giving up easy baskets. That's a pretty good recipe for most teams. But I've seen some games where they're just not really there defensively and they're not hitting threes. That's just a recipe for disaster. So hopefully, but you start making those threes and everything kind of starts opening up. So if the Heat, that's kind of like the key right there. You start hitting those threes and the game evolves and changes. But we do know one thing. The Heat, hate week. They passed the first test. They've beaten the Knicks. Maybe it's a case of the Knicks being the Knicks and the Heat being the Heat. Maybe the Knicks are going to start doing one of these.
I have a question. Why are we this far into the season and the Heat playing two games in 7 days?
I don't know what the NBA does half the time.
Yeah, they got to spread that out. That means that at some point they didn't have something?
They didn't have to play a back-to-back.
Yeah, that's true. They should have just spread it out. There you go. You're solving the problems of sitting NBA players. Do your schedule better.
Schedule better. Up next on the schedule, we have some headlines. Get you caught up with everything that's happening in the sports world and the world in general here on the Tobin and Leroy Show on 560 WQAM.